Which would be John C. Or Christy, I'm sorry.
Hi, my name's Chris and I'm an addict. First, I'd like to say that for me it's an honor to be here. I've been in this area since before it was an area. You know, I got here in 92. And when Justin asked me to speak, I immediately said, sure, no problem. And I didn't even bother to ask what the topic was. And a couple of weeks ago, I was at the Friday night meeting, my home group, and I said, you know, by the way, what exactly am I speaking about? And he said, what is the NA program? And I said, well, okay, that's a pretty much of a no-brainer, you know? And as time has gone by, I've been thinking about it a little bit more. Because, you know, when I look at the basic text, there's four pages on what is the NA program. Pages 9 through 13. Well, that's five pages, actually. But they've got it, you know, and the funny thing is, when I got clean in 92, I can remember there were two NA meetings in Johnstown. One was at Mercy Hospital, the other one's at St. Mark's. And I can remember sitting in meetings and hearing people read what is the NA program, and I can remember reading what is the NA program, and thinking about, you know, just, you know, the initial lines in it, you know. I can remember the first time I heard it, you know. It's a society or fellowship of men, for men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is pretty easy, you know. I can remember Holy Old Recovery thinking, this is pretty easy. They're not asking a whole lot from me, you know. And thinking, oh, well, you know, it's going to be like kind of like joining the club. Because I'll be honest with you, when I got clean, it wasn't because that was my first choice of something to do. It was because my life had gotten to the point where it was going to be jails, institutions, and death. And I had no idea NA even existed. So I had no idea what the NA program is. And in the beginning, I concentrated on staying clean. And as time has evolved, the whole meaning of what the NA program is has changed a great deal for me. It changed for me this afternoon, this evening, on the 25-minute ride from my house to here. You know, and I really got to thinking earlier today how profound of a change my life has had because of what the NA program is. You know, to me, what this program is this is a program where at the age of, you know, a week before turning 26, Chris came in the door not knowing what was going to happen to him, you know, and I've said it, and for me it's the truth. At that point in my life, I was too scared to live, but I was afraid of dying, and I came in the door, and I did what people said I needed to do in the beginning, and that was to show up at meetings, and I thought that's all it was about. You know, that's what the NA program is. You have to show up, and all these great people in these rooms, some of which I didn't even know, a lot of which I couldn't remember the names if my life depended on it, were going to keep me clean. And then I realized that what the NA program is really about is about self-growth for me through the help and guidance of those who are here with me and through my higher power. You know, for me it wasn't what NA is just showing up and saying I'm a member. I couldn't do that, you know. And what it did is it allowed me to do a lot of things in my life, one of which was to grow up, to become human. You know, at 26, I thought I was too young to be here. I realized somewhere in the course of my recovery that I wasn't too young. I got here when I was 32. And that's what NA is about for me. It was someplace that I needed to be at that time. It's someplace I need to be today. It taught me everything that I had not dealt with in life, everything that I've pushed off in life, and it still teaches it to me today. You know, in the time that I've been clean, and through the help of this fellowship, I have become an active, productive member of society. You know, I've gotten everything that they say you can get, but it didn't come without work, and that's what NA taught me, that anything worth having in life is worth working for. You know, it taught me that I don't have to use today, no matter what happens. You know, it taught me to not be afraid to take a chance at anything in life, at a job, at a step, at love, at friendship. at dealing with my problems, you know? And I've done a lot of that through the years. You know, it seems for me that for some reason my life runs in like 3-year cycles. You know, at the end of the first 3 years, and I'll be very honest with you, the month of August I'm really growing to despise for a lot of different reasons. But one of the things is that I know that this is someplace I can come and stay for me. You know, I've learned, it's just incredible to me what NA has done for me and what the NA program is. Because it is a society or fellowship for men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. And today I almost laugh at that. Because, you know, they to me, I read that and I think, oh, that's such a little puffy little, you know, happy answer. You know, major problem. You know? To call it addiction for me a major problem is minor. I'm an addict. You know? That's incredible to say. A major problem. You know, and today I can look at it and go, it is a major problem, but it's so much more, because it affected every aspect of my life. And I had to come someplace that I was so grateful that there was someplace that I could come, that I could find answers to the questions I had, and answers to the questions I didn't even know I had yet. About Chris, about other people, about a higher power, about living life one day at a time. Because I had never done that. You know. I never dealt with anything. You know, and I still try and avoid it today, and I can't. You know, I'm not wild about dealing with problems. I don't think anybody is, but I'm not wild about it, but I can't. But this is someplace where I can come, where I can learn how to do that. And I can bounce something off of people. And I'll have somebody tell me, you're way out in left field. You got to get centered. You got to get back to where you belong. I'll have somebody tell me that when I think things are at the bottom, that it could be worse. I had somebody tell me an hour and a half ago when I got here. Today was not a good day for me. Briefly, the company I worked for was taken over by the bank that they owed a lot of money to today. So at 35, I'm pretty much without a job at this point. You know, getting married next year. A little scary. Reality is, you know, I was talking to another addict when I got here, and he said, but it could be worse. You could pick up tonight. And that put it in perspective for me. And he's right. You know, that would make it worse. You know, before I knew what NA was, that's what I would have done. I would have left the office this morning, and I would have been loaded this afternoon. Today, I didn't have to do that. You know, and when I've been through, you know, a bad relationship, which I had my part in every single one of them. You know, in the past, relationships went bad. What did Chris do? Use. Don't have to do that today. Deaths of loved ones. You know, 3 years ago, a little bit over 3 years ago, I lost my mother. Rather quickly. And, you know, thinking back on it now, this is one of the reasons why I really don't care much for the month of August. It was in August. 13th of August in 98. And I don't remember the exact dates of it, but it was sometime at this point in the month. It was within 10 days or so, the Unity Retreat happened. And I had been asked to speak. And I could have very easily backed out of it. I could have easily not shown up. I could have made a phone call and said, I'm not up to it. I did it. Why I did it? You know, because one of the things that I've learned about what is NA is I've learned a sense of commitment. I've learned a sense of responsibility. And I also knew this is where I needed to be, you know, and I felt much better after that weekend because I was able to talk with other people, recovering addicts, who had been through the same thing I had been through, you know, and knew what it felt like and knew that the answers are in front of me through talking with other addicts, through, you know, communicating with my higher power, through meditation, reading, working the steps. You know, and it's like every time I turn around, this, you know, today, you know, it was funny because I was talking to my fiance earlier today, you know, I had to call her and tell her the good news, the happy news, and you know, and she said, what are you going to do? And I don't know, this is 1:30, and I said, well, to tell you the truth, what I'm going to do right now is I stop by McDonald's, I got lunch, I'm going to eat my lunch, watch the A-team, and go to the retreat. And she said, are you sure? And I said, yes. Because this is what NA is. NA is my home. You know, NA is where I got the courage and the strength to get to the position I am today, to get to where I am in my life today. For me, shutting the door on NAs would be, to me, saying, you know, what's the difference? And I'm not willing to do that today, no matter what. You know? It's like, you know, like I said in the beginning, the more I thought about this, the harder it became, and the more, you know, the more I realized how much a simple statement like, what is NA, can really make me think. You know? And it does. And I'm grateful for that, because that's one of the things that it does. It makes me think. It makes Chris think, yeah, what is NA? You know, take it for granted. I mean, I was sitting here before the meeting, and over the years, unlike, you know, I don't think unlike a lot of other addicts, because I've read the basic text so much, because I've been to so many meetings, and I've heard the readings, and I've read the readings, these things just kind of flow through my head, you know? And it's like, I was just sitting there on the bench before anybody came down playing with the fire, and it was like running through my head about what is the NA program. And it's staggering to me. It is really staggering because of what it is and what it involves. I mean, we've got people here now from all over the place, you know. So obviously NA is not limited to a 25-mile radius of Johnstown, surprising as that may be, you know, or Meadville or Altoona or anywhere that anybody is from, you know, Washington, Pennsylvania, whatever. But it's like, you know, what is the program? The program is Matthew in his normal, timely fashion. That's what the program is. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Matt.
That's, you know what I mean? That's what the program is today. The program is someplace that I had a friend who, for a number of years, lived in this area and was in recovery, and what he used to say is, what NA is to him is someplace where he can come to get his back scratched when he needs it, and also to get reminded that the difference between scratching his back and a kick in the ass is about 18 inches. And that's what it is. You know? It's someplace I can be me. So nobody cares about, you know, I don't have to put up pretenses. I don't have to, you know, be something I'm not. You know, it's the only place I've ever been in my entire life where the only thing anybody ever expected from me was to show up and to keep coming back, you know? I mean, like I said, when I first got clean, my brain was scrambled eggs. I don't know if it's much better now. But I can remember that. You know, the very first meeting I ever went to, I couldn't tell you who was there. I couldn't remember who said what. But one thing I do remember is them saying, keep coming back. That's what NA is keep coming back. You know? I'd like to say that what it is the cure-all for addiction, but I'd be lying. It isn't for me. I mean, I have to work at it. You know? And I know for other people, I've seen a lot of people come and go over the years. You know? But I've always had a special part of my heart to tell, you know what? At least they got the seed planted of what NA is. You know, it's the place where addicts come, you know? It's the place that taught me that because I'm an addict does not mean that I am a bad person. Doesn't mean that I'm a messed up, you know, that I don't belong in society. It did the opposite. It taught me that that's where I belong. But there's not, you know, I have a disease. And because I have a disease doesn't mean that I should be cast aside and forgotten about, you know, like a leper just pushed off somewhere. It taught me that I don't have to do that. You know, it taught me that what it did is it gave me the courage to try and succeed at anything I wanted to do in life. But that I had to work for that. I had to work the steps. I have to work the steps. You know, I have to keep in contact with the people in my support group. You know, I have to a fair amount. But it's all rewarded to me because that's what NA is about. It's about a group of addicts getting together and sharing their experience, strength, and hope. You know, it's what saved my life. and still does on a daily basis. You know, I can remember when everything came crashing down for me, I was living in the D.C. area at the time, and I called my parents, who I hadn't spoken to in 3 years. My relationship with my father had been rocky, to say the least, for 20-plus years. You know, basically since I was a small child. And definitely afraid of calling them, you know. And I remember talking to my mother on the phone. My mother insisted that my father get on the phone. I didn't want to talk to him. But I did. And they came down to where I was. I was in no condition to, you know, do anything. I couldn't tie my own shoes. And I remember them coming down. I remember my father sitting on the couch in my apartment, and I was wrapped up in a blanket, and it was August, and it was D.C., and it was 105 degrees outside, and I was freezing cold. But I remember my father looking at me and saying something that, at that time, didn't seem to make a huge amount of sense to me, but today makes a whole lot of sense to me. He says, you know what? You're lucky. Because there are places for people like you to go for help. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you say people like you, that would mean, you know, he's trying to slam you. No, it was, at that point, it was, you know, at that time, that's kind of what I thought. But the reality is, it's my father, and that's just the way he is. He didn't mean it as a slam. But that's what it is. And this is where it is. This is what NA is. It's someplace for an addict, such as myself and everyone else, this whole place and everybody who will be here all weekend, to go for help. And the beauty of it is that it's free, you know, and that it's unconditional, you know. I didn't have to sign up and commit to a membership for more than today. That's all they ask. Don't use today. You know, it wasn't long term. It wasn't like joining the health club or signing up for, you know, cable or anything like that. You know, joining the Kiwanis Club where they expect you to send a check every year. You know, it was stay clean today. You know, do what you need to do to stay clean today. Reach out. Find the people that you can relate to. Find the people you can't relate to and listen to what the hell they have to say, because they probably can help you at some point, and that's the truth. You know? They didn't say, well, you know, what you have to do to be an NA is to come in the door and you have to love everybody and you have to, you know, do everything that everybody says. So you don't have to use today. You know? I may not like somebody, but I'll listen to them. What NA has taught me is respect. I have a huge amount of respect for anybody in any condition who has ever been to a meeting. You know, because it's a level playing field. We come in the door, we're all equal. No greater, no lesser than anybody. And NA has taught me that. You know, because I admit, when I got here, and I can still do it now, you know, I can solve all the world's problems. I am the king of the world. There are two ways to do things, Chris's way and the wrong way. And what NA has told me is that there is a kinder, gentler way to do things. And that if I open my ears and open my mind and open my heart and be receptive, that I can learn the kinder, softer way of recovery and of life, you know? It never ceases to amaze me. What the NA program does, you know. I've learned over the years some of the things that the NA program, you know, what the NA program is not for me. Honestly, the NA program for me is not someplace that worked out well as a relationship finder and or dating service. You know, I wasn't good at that. I've known Matthew for a lot of years. He knows that. I was not good at that. What NA doesn't do for me is NA doesn't magically make my problems disappear. Doesn't do that. You know, it doesn't miraculously make me the king of the world. You know, and not having that weight on my shoulders has been wonderful. You know, because it was a tough job solving all the world's problems. You know. With a straw at my nose and a bottle in my hand. That was a tough job. You know? And it's just like, you know, it's amazing to me what the NA program is. It, like I said, it has never ceased to amaze me what it is. I've got friends coast to coast now who are in recovery. And, I mean, you want to talk about what the program is and what the program can do. About 5 years ago, I had an end to a bad relationship, and I had friends who lived in Sacramento, California, who had transferred out of this area, and they had been bugging me for about a year and a half to come visit them, and they said, why don't you do it? I said, well, that's a pretty good idea. That was August, too. That was bad. And what I did is I took 3 weeks vacation and went to Sacramento. And I got off the plane after a very long, delayed trip, about 3 hours late. You know, I was supposed to be there by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was like 5:30 by the time I got there. And what this friend of mine, Judy, said was, well, we got to stop by and see Les. He's over at the clubhouse. I said, okay. So we stop over there. It was right by the house, and she says, oh, well, you know, why don't we just grab dinner here, and we can catch the meeting, since it's already, you know, by this point, it's like 6:15, meeting starts at like 7. I said, okay, that's cool. Well, what I didn't know is one of the beauties of NA is that they had prearranged that, you know, I was going to chair a meeting, but they knew that if they told me when I got off the plane, I might try and get out of it because it had been a long day and I was tired. So I walk in and I sit down in the back, and she says, no, let's sit up front. Okay. And we're sitting there, and they get through all the readings and everything, and then they introduce me as the speaker of that meeting. And I'm sitting there in the front row like, wow, this is a whole lot of fun. You know, I've been up for 14, 15 hours at this point. Other than a couple of people who I'd met when I first got to the clubhouse, didn't know anybody. You know, Sacramento is a pretty major metropolitan area. It's the capital of California. A little useless trivia, I'm big on that. And, you know, there's like 75 or 80 people there. And they want me to give a lead. I did it. To a room full of complete and total strangers other than two people that I'd known at that point for about 4 years, 3.5, 4 years. You know one of the best things about it was? That afterwards, complete strangers lived on the opposite coast from me, never met, were coming up to me and telling me they could relate. And they knew nothing more than the fact that I started off by saying, my name is Chris, and I'm an addict. You know? What else have I ever found in my life that was like that? Nothing. In my heart, do I believe that there is anything else in life that is like that? No. No. You know? And I still, I've been a lot of friends when I was out there, and I haven't been back. But I still communicate with a great number of them on a regular basis. Because what NA did was give me a level playing field. I walked in the door and I was in a level playing field. It allowed me to grow. To live. I'm alive today. A little bit over 9 years ago, there were three options. Jails, institutions, and death. You know. Wasn't a wild fan about jail. I don't think anybody is. You know, institutions? No. I didn't like that idea either. Death? At that point in my life, death was looking real good. But like I said before, you know, afraid of living, too scared to die. NA has taught me I don't have to be that way. You know, that I can live. You know, I can have a healthy respect for dying. I'm not an idiot. You know, there are things that I do that I know that, you know, you do this, you know, you could die. You know what I mean? You know, but it's given me courage in every aspect of my life. I mean, I'll give you a good example. I'm gonna throw some more wood on. Just recently, well, okay, 2 days ago, I turned 35. Horrible thing to happen to a person. You know. 35, you know, going gray, half bald, and, you know, but about 4 or 5 years ago, when I hit about 30, I hit this point in my life where I said to myself, you know what, I don't want to wake up 10 years from now and be kicking myself in the ass because I never did this and I never did that. And, you know, so I ran down the list, you know, let's climb Mount Everest, you know, made a little list and all that. You know, there are things that I will never do. I am not going to climb Mount Everest. I am pretty sure of that. Not a problem. But one of the things that I decided that I wanted to do was I wanted to go skydiving. Now, must know me for a number of years. I have a dire fear of heights. I do. I mean, in my opinion, and the industry that I'm currently in, or flux in or whatever, makes me sometimes have to go up on roofs. To me, there is absolutely no reason man is meant to be off the first floor. There is no reason. I don't understand why. You know, unless there's like four walls around you and you're really safe. You know? So what do? I'm working with a guy who says to me, my only bigger fear than that is swimming. Because I sink like a rock. I don't float. I sink. Work with a guy who's a scuba teacher. He says, let me take you scuba diving this weekend. I'll teach you how to do it. No way. No way, Mike. So he says, then he says to me about 2 hours later, we're sitting in the office, he says, all right, why don't we go skydiving? Here I am, definitely afraid of heights. And I say, let me think about it. I left the office, had to go on some appointments, driving around in my truck, and, you know, about an hour goes by, and this is just playing in my mind. You know, and it's all happened in the same period of time that I've turned 30 and I've decided I don't want to, you know, wake up in 10 years and kick myself in the ass for not doing things. So I call him and I say, okay, let's do it. So we register for the school. We go out into Westmoreland County at, you know, bright and early on a Saturday morning, and we go through jump school, and everything seems fine because what they have you doing at that point is, you know, you're jumping from this high with a parachute on, and you're going, oh, this isn't bad. I can do this, you know? So what happens is, that day, the clouds roll in, can't get the plane off the ground, not a high enough ceiling. That's a Saturday. Sunday, same problem. Following weekend, I finally get up in the air. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm in a little plane, a little Cessna, three other jumpers, the instructor, and the pilot. If anybody here has ever watched The Simpsons, the pilot looks like Otto, the bus driver. Okay? I'm telling you, you know, Scott, you know, he's going, oh man, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's going, oh man, I am still so hungover, you know, and he's got the headphones on, you know, and this plane, you know, you always hear people say, why would you jump out of a perfectly good plane? I am sure this is a mechanically sound plane, but it's doing a, you know, and it's like, are we going to make it to 3,600 feet to get out, you know? So we get up there, and I say to the jump instructor, because somehow, stupid me, I was the last one in the plane, which means first one out, you know, rocket science move on my part. But I say to the jump instructor, I said, has anybody ever not been able to get out of the plane? He said, we had one guy. He was a linebacker for Pitt. He froze. He said, I couldn't even move him. We landed back on the ground. The guy had absolutely no memory of the 25 minutes he was in the plane. He says, but trust me, I'll get you out of the plane. Okay. So they have you get out of this plane, and the plane's going like 90 miles an hour or so, and it's going, you're holding on to a wing strut. Now, they throw me on the ground before we got up in the air. What's going to happen is you're going to hang on the wing strut. Because of the wind, the speed, your body will now be, you know, on the same plane as the plane. You'll be parallel to the plane. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And I'm going to say to you, you're going to be looking at me, I'm going to say, look up at the little puppy dog. They have a little puppy dog sticker. It's about the size of a quarter. And then I'm going to have you look up, and I'm going to ask you to look back at me, look at the puppy again, and release your hands. All right? So I'm like, throw on the ground. This is a good theory. Up in the plane, I'm like, okay, I can do this. Scared to death, shaken, nervous. They wouldn't let me wear my glasses because at that altitude, you know, your glasses fly off. There could be all kinds of problems. I am blind as a bat without my glasses. I could not see John sitting over there without my glasses. What I would see is a green mask, you know? So I don't have my glasses on, so I get out there, and I'm holding on to the wing strut. You know, all I can think is I'm going to smack this plane on the way out, and it's going to be all over for me. I won't have to worry about anything unless the emergency chute doesn't open. So he says, I'm looking at him, and he says, look up. I look up. There is no puppy dog on the wing. I don't see the sticker anymore. As I'm turning back to say, oh, shit, my hand's released. I'm out. I'm flying. You know? And then the fear sets in, What if the chute doesn't open when it's supposed to? Because when you first learn to skydive, you're not allowed to pull the chute yourself, because they know, in my case, I probably would have either done it too soon or too late. Couldn't do it at the right time. As soon as it opens, and they've got you on a little radio control, and they're going, everything's fine, and I'm going, you know, they're smart. They don't have it so you can talk to them. Because I don't think they'd want to hear what I was thinking and what I was saying. You know? But everything opens. And I make it to the ground. And I continued to do that. I actually ended up eventually getting certified to jump. Went through several jumps, got certified, got to the point where I could pull my own string. Did that twice and decided, you know what, we can cross this off the list now. We have accomplished this. You know, I've done it. And the reason I bring that up is because what NA did was NA gave a 30-year-old recovering addict, half bald, I was a little bit less gray then, a little bit heavier, you know, kid from suburbia, the courage to try something that I would have never tried before in my life. You know? And when we got back down to the ground, you know, I was on the ground, obviously, before everybody else was. And afterwards, I went up to the instructor and I said, where's the puppy dog? He says, oh, that's magnetic. We do that on purpose. And I said, why? And he said, because nobody would ever let go if we didn't. He said, but here's the thing. When you look up and you're supposed to see a little puppy dog and you don't see it, he says you start to panic. And you can't concentrate on two things with all of your mind at once. So as soon as, and he said, everybody does it, as soon as you go to look at me, you relax your grip. Because you, when you initially got out there, you got white knuckle on it. NA gave me the courage to do that. You know? NA taught me that in order to recover, I have to believe that there's a puppy dog on the wing, but what I have to do is realize that if it's not there, as long as I do what I'm supposed to do today in order to stay clean, I will. You know? And it gave me the courage to realize that the puppy dog is there, and that if it's not, I'll be okay today. You know, that's what this has done for me. It's allowed me to grow up. It's allowed me to be me. It's allowed me to be standing here tonight and sharing my experience, strength, and hope with a room full of, or an amphitheater full of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my entire life. Recovering addicts. People that mean more to me today than anything else in the world. Because without the people in these rooms and without my higher power and without the steps and the traditions, what is NA would be the same question that I had when I came through the door August 17th of 1992. What is NA? No clue. And that's it. I'm done. Thank you very much.
I'd like to introduce the second speaker from the Lower Mount Highlands group of NA, which is Chris P. Hi everyone, my name's Chris and I'm an addict. Thanks, Chris, for what you said. I got a lot out of that. And tonight must be Chris night. Said something right at the end there that really caught me that I can't get out of my head, so I have to share it. And once I share it, it'll become even more real to me. You said whenever you're up in that plane that whenever you're looking for that puppy dog that you loosened your grip a little bit. That's what NA is to me. It was a vehicle to a new life that taught me in this new life how to loosen the grip on my life. Because I was holding on and white knuckling this crazy mixed up old life that I had. And we were sinking. I was sinking. NA to me is a vehicle. It's a vehicle that I cherish with all my heart, and it's not one that I'm going to trade in on anew, and it's one that I'm going to keep in the garage and go visit all the time and polish it up and shine it up and save it for my kids for whenever they get old enough to drive, because NA is what took Chris P. from an old life to a very new, precious life that I am so, so grateful for. And I like what you said too, Chris, about they only made you sign up for a one-day membership. That was cool. And it was free. The only desire, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And I am so glad that only a desire is what let me be a member of this fellowship. Because I couldn't stop using before I came here. I simply could not do it. I tried it lots of different ways, and I could not stop. So after being in the program from April until August of 98, I decided to take some suggestions, and by the grace of God, I've been clean for 3 years on Saturday. Please clap for me. I love celebrating any anniversary. They're like birthdays. NA is a fellowship of men and women. I'm so glad the men were here, because when I first came in my old life, I didn't do women. I was all about men. And the men in NA gave me hugs. And that's probably why I came back the second, third time. In my new life, I know how to have women as friends. And I'm so grateful for that. NA's given me that. NA taught me how to have relationships. Relationships with my God, with myself, and with other people. And the real relationships today. They're not the kind of relationships that I used to have sitting in the bar stool. And I liked what you said, too, about leveling the playing field. Because we are all equal in these rooms. Something happens when we walk into a building or into an amphitheater and gather around a fire that we leave us outside, and this spiritual thing happens, and we all become equal. We all have the last name, and that's added. And God speaks to us through each other in such incredible, incredible ways. And it doesn't matter if you have 3 years or 3 days or 30 years. We can learn from each other. And it's beautiful. It's truly beautiful. And I'm so grateful. NA is a fellowship. Before I came here, I tried other fellowships like church, but I didn't feel like I fit in there because no one used it. And I felt different. And then I tried like fellowshipping with my psychiatrist and the other patients and my psychiatrist. And we shared drugs, pills, prescriptions. This was the first fellowship that I knew from the minute I walked in that I belonged. Not only because there was lots of guys, and they gave hugs, but there were lots of women, too, that gave hugs. And they looked at me right in the eye. And they were sincere and honest, and they told me that it was going to be okay, that I could learn a new way of life. Because I remember crying and saying, I want to be clean so bad, I don't want to use anymore, my life is so screwed up, and I've tried everything. Those women took me aside and said, just keep coming back. NA was the vehicle that took me and introduced me to the foundation of my whole new life, and that's the 12 steps. The only thing that NA promises is freedom from active addiction if you're honest, open, and willing to take some suggestions. If you want more than just freedom from active addiction, if you want to recover, if you want to enjoy life, you have to work the steps. That's what I learned. That's what people told me. The spiritual principles that underlie each of the steps have become my higher power. And NA is responsible for the life I have today. And it's a good life. And I thank you, my friend. Go ahead.
I'd like to thank Bruce.